Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Listen to Mustard and Johnson on the radio.com app. This is AM 850 WEEI Boston. The preacher and the teacher. Mustard and Johnson. It's Mustard and Johnson. Talk all things Boston sports with two radio legends. It's Mustard and Johnson on WEEI AM 850 and the radio.com app.
Doc, you better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Ah, yes, it is Back to the Future. No Marty McFly, no Dr. Brown. Just Mustard and Johnson getting in our radio DeLoreans and heading back to the future to Magnificent Monaural. Larry Johnson, are you ready to be amplitude modulated for the next 3 hours?
I'm very excited. I understand that the two women in the space capsule can get better audio than us.
Well,
is this true?
That is not true, Larry Johnson. I'm glad you said that, because even though the perception might be that AM certainly isn't as technologically advanced as FM, we have this new gizmo that they have on the phone. The kids use it all the time. It's called radio.com. Have you got it on your phone yet?
Do I?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I've always had that.
Okay. Radio.com. Just download it from the App Store and look for WEEI in the search. And like four or five stations down, you will see 850 AM. Because a lot of people outside the AM signal area were concerned that they would not be able to listen to us. So if you're within the AM 50 broadcast area, you are set. Let's you know, everybody says AM. This is a 50,000-watt radio station covering most of eastern Massachusetts. But if you're outside that particular broadcast area, yes, indeed, we have you covered literally and figuratively with radio.com. Just search for WEEI and click down three or four stations down. You will see 850 AM. So this begins. We're embarking on a new journey, Larry.
It is our task to bring 850 to monster levels where, like, it'll just outshine all the other stations.
You know what I'm doing? I'm going right after the FM station. Right after, what's that show that's over there in the FM studio now?
Mock and Hot.
Forget it. They're gone. They're dead. They're out of here. They are toast. We're going right after
Mark,
their ratings.
Mock now saying, hello, hello, is there anybody out there?
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of crickets over on the FM side. No, listen.
I don't have my call screener. I don't have a clock. What's the story?
Well, you just talk into the microphone and do your job, and we'll take care of the rest.
Okay, where's the clock?
So right now.
There you go.
You have.
That's our audience.
The beauty of this is, Larry, I know it's going to take a little bit for you because you are primed and conditioned to do 2 hours.
That is true.
But we're going to have to stretch you out a little bit, like they have to do some of these starters in the playoffs.
Yeah,
you're going to have to go through.
Tried that already.
You're going to have to go through another time through the lineup. And we're going to do three action-packed hours.
Whoa.
It's a three-hour tour. And a lot of our fans over the years, I know there were a couple out there, including Danny and some of the others, said, why can't you guys do a three-hour show? Well, we finally heard you. And we're getting our three-hour show. You just have to flip over to 850. And people forget this. You know, it's only been 8 years that WEEI moved to FM 93.7. That was in September of 2011, right before the beer and the chicken hit the fan after that Red Sox disastrous September. But for 21 years, WEEI was on AM. First on 590. And later on 850, we're just going back there. We're traditionalists. What can you say? We're old school.
Glenn always wanted to go to FM. He felt, obviously, the signal and...
Right, but you know, Glenn and I are different. I always wanted to go to AM, and finally, I got my wish.
Well, you throw your weight around here.
That's
and
right.
You finally get things done.
You know, I lobbied, I implored, I begged, I pleaded, I wheedled, I whined, and I finally got it. We're on 850 WEEI. And one of the things we're going to do, Larry, and we talked about it in our last three or four shows over in the other studio.
I don't remember.
your memory's getting a little short these days. We're going to need a lot of help from our regulars, who I hope have been loyal and have made the transition over to AM or found the radio.com WEEI app, to give us a call. And we have a brand new, well, it's not a brand new number. Once again, it's back to the future.
Back to the future.
This number has been collecting dust for the last 8 years. But Larry,
617.
I'm going to let you unveil it right now.
617-779-0850.
What was that number again?
617-779-0850. Actually, this is easier to remember than the other one.
It is. But, you know, remember how long it took us to remember the new number, the FM number? It took us about 2 years. Finally, this one is back. And I'm excited about that, too. 617-779-0850. That is an easy one to remember, easy one for you as well. And we hope to talk to a lot of people who are making the pledge to take that ride in their own radio DeLoreans.
What is this, a radiothon?
I feel like it. Take a pledge. You know, give us a call right now.
Well, one thing that we do, and we'll continue to do it every week, is we cover the world of sports. Sometimes national, sometimes local. I think people are more interested in local stories, but there are a few national things going on that do deserve our attention. The Patriots continue to win. I think people, for the most part, are not satisfied, however. They're astute enough to realize they're playing a very easy schedule to this point. I think the Jets will be a worthy opponent. I think their quarterback for the Jets, Donaldson, he's getting much better. My God, he looked really good last week. And they got a good running back, and I think it's going to be a pretty good game.
Yeah, I know that's what the consensus seems to be. WEEI.com has a segment on that. I was reading Chad Finn in the Globe yesterday. He talked a lot about the Jets may be a little bit tougher than originally thought because their quarterback, Darnold, is back. And I saw most of that Jet game against Dallas, and they did look good.
Donald looked good. He looked very good.
But we all know that the Dallas Cowboys have hit the skids a little bit. They've lost three in a row. And the Cowboys, for all of their preseason predictions, a lot of people felt that the boys would be one of the teams that had a decent shot to go to the Super Bowl. They don't look like a Super Bowl-bound team right now. What I worry about with the Patriots is, even with that Giant game, remember the Giants and Patriot game was a week ago Thursday, so we've been on now twice since the Patriots last played, and their problem is I'm not worried about the Patriots dealing with Darnold as much as C.J. Mosley's going to come back after getting hurt early in the year. He's their best defensive player, and that offense of the Patriots, I don't know if they are roadworthy. They certainly did not look good at home last week. They haven't looked good really all season long. And that's the big problem I would have if I'm a Patriot fan. How is that offense going to get on track the rest of the way?
They're going through stages right now where the offense just is, not, I don't want to say dysfunctional, but the offensive line needs a lot of work. A lot of work. They're not giving Brady the proper protection. And the receivers that he has, I don't know how much confidence he has in Dorsett and some of the other wide receivers. They just don't seem to be on the same level. Myers still has to be accustomed to Brady, but it's just like some of Brady's passes have been terrible, either too high or just hit the ground. They came back in the second half to score some points, but I think when they stop playing after the bye week, when they stop playing some of the better teams, I think hopefully adjustments will be made by then.
Well, you look at the schedule later on in the year, and I'm not sure if the Browns pose a threat or not, because you never know quite what you're going to get with the Cleveland Browns.
Browns have the talent. They just are not producing. I think the quarterback situation is he's not as good as advertised.
No, he's throwing pick after pick after pick, and you got to be thinking the Patriots will be drooling when Baker and company come to town. That's just in a week. I'll be at that game, as a matter of fact, being treated by my cousin to that game on Sunday the 27th. But after the Browns, Larry, you look at this schedule, it's Baltimore on the road, Eagles on the road, Cowboys here, at the Texans, big win over the Chiefs a couple weeks ago. Actually, it was just last week, two games ago. And then the Chiefs on the 8th, and Mahomes most likely will be playing in that game. Did you see that injury on Thursday night?
Yeah, it was kind of a strange injury. He was a quarterback sneak, and he just plowed ahead, as one does, going for a quarterback sneak. And he was wincing on the ground. He was in pain, and evidently, one of the linemen or something must have fell on his knee. Or if that's the only thing that one can conclude with that situation. And when he got up, he was really in tough shape. And then as he started walking off the field, he got better. But obviously, the injury is worse than what one thought it might be.
Although, actually, it's better than one thought it might be. The initial reaction immediately was he's gone for the year with a displaced knee, not kneecap, big difference. So they're actually breathing a deep sigh of relief in Kansas City. And if I'm an NFL fan, I know up here he's the enemy, and he's one D-Ford offsides away from going to the Super Bowl last year instead of your team. I don't know. I didn't talk to a lot of Patriot fans. I hope Patriot fans were not rooting for Patrick Mahomes to be out.
I don't think anybody who is a true fan of the game, do you wish to see a number of star quarterbacks and athletes going out with injuries? I mean, I want the Super Bowl, but I want to win it the right way. I don't want people getting injured and stuff so you can just skip over them. That's no fun.
Well, especially this year. I mean, how many injuries to quarterbacks is this league going to have to endure? Roethlisberger goes down against the Pats.
Roethlisberger's injury was different, though. Something snapped in his elbow, and that was that. I mean, nobody hit him or anything.
No, but I mean, it doesn't matter how it happens. The Drew Brees injury with the thumb, he will be back. The Saints have been doing fine, playing great defense with Teddy Bridgewater.
Bridgewater's been doing pretty good.
Now, on the other hand, Carolina has benefited from Cam Newton going down, because this kid Kyle Allen has been terrific. And as a matter of fact, Cam can come back. I don't – if I'm Riverboat Ron – I'm not putting Cam Newton back in the starting lineup. Kyle Allen has been terrific.
Well, Cam has been out of sync a little bit with that anyway, and many conclude that he's taken too many hits. As your big kid, good outside the pocket, can run, but there's a price to pay
right
when you play that way.
So going back to that schedule, does get harder. Six-game stretch where the Patriots, you could look at losing three games in that six-game stretch. 3-3 would not be something that would be astounding to anybody. So certainly Mahomes' injury is going to help in the quest for the home field, which they have pretty much in hand right now. They have a two-game lead on the Chiefs. The AFC is, I think, down in a major way anyway. Mahomes doesn't make it any better. It'll be interesting to see what the Chiefs can do in these three or four games without Mahomes and what effect that has on the Patriots. On the other hand, with all these quarterback injuries, Brady, for all his difficulty moving the ball and throwing the ball, at least has stayed healthy. And that is pretty amazing for a 42-year-old quarterback. You know? So it's been a weird year for the Patriots. It's got to be the most hollow 6-0 team I think I've ever seen. This is a team, obvious, built on defense. Their defense is historically stingy. They've given up 27 points all year. What, two touchdowns via the pass? It has been a great defensive season, but we're so used to looking at the Patriots from an offensive prism. And when Brady isn't quite right, it's hard to think of the Patriots as being right.
See, I think you have to measure the Patriots by their offensive line. That's where it starts. As the offensive line goes, so goes Brady. Michelle has been okay as a running back. Chubbs would have been a heck of a lot better. I think Michelle is, he's a little bit, you know what it is? He's a little bit slow and he's a little bit undersized. The combination of both of those things does not make him the type of speed merchant that can get outside or hit the hole quick. And, you know, I don't know, Belichick, and they drafted him before his teammate at Georgia, Chubbs.
Yeah, and Chubb is having a particularly good year, second in rushing,
oh,
in spite of all the problems that Cleveland has had.
I think it's fair to say Belichick, the coach, is terrific. A-plus, four stars. Belichick, the general manager, I think still remains a lot of questions and a lot of mysteries, and there are a lot of things that go on with him that one just doesn't understand. And when you try to get some sort of answers from him that we can go with, he tells you nothing.
Well, I think this year is a perfect example. You look at him sending Demaryius Thomas to the Jets thinking that Antonio Brown was going to be the premier receiver, yet you really cannot count on an AB, as we found out the 11-day stint here.
I still wish we had him.
Josh Gordon, he's a solid receiver. He's certainly not the Josh Gordon as you pointed out.
He's not like he was with Cleveland.
No, and you know what? He could lapse into another drug situation on a dime. You just don't know with him. With Gronk gone, that changes everything offensively, and your tight end position has been battered and bruised. You don't know what to do with Ben Watson. He's out with the PED suspension, comes back, is cut. Now he's back again.
38.
Yeah, and you wonder, for all his brilliance, and no one is questioning, as much as we don't like his media access and his grumpy personality, I know it's a show, he's really not like that in person behind closed doors.
We don't know what he's like.
Right. We know he's a brilliant coach, probably the greatest coach in the history of the game. But his general managing moves have certainly, particularly this year, have to be questioned.
It is what it is.
There you go. Thank you, Bill.
I don't know whether that's why Casero wants to get out of here or what. I don't know whether they give him total authority over draft picks and the like, or Belichick's involved in that, and Belichick can overrule him. Because I think their draft picks, for the most part, leave something to be desired. N'Keal Henry, the wide receiver.
Gets hurt. You can't see him.
Should be on the field this week, but they finally went out and drafted another wide receiver, first one. And we don't know how he's going to be.
No, it is difficult to assess Belichick as the whole director of player personnel / coach, the guy that's pretty much running the football operation out down there. His coaching talent and his success on the field with the six Super Bowls certainly overshadows what he's done as a procurer of player personnel, shall we say.
I still don't know how he deals with his players. I know Michael Bennett, he got suspended for a week.
There's another example.
Quite a ways to get suspended. I mean, you can get into an argument with a coach. Players do that all the time and the like. What he could have done to push the envelope, I happen to agree with Bennett that 11 snaps, man, that's, that. You know, if you're going to play me, play me. If not, you know, cut me or trade me or something. Bennett can be a pain in the behind. He has a history of that with the law and some other things. So we don't, once again, we don't have any answers or know anything about that situation. But I do think, I think the way they handled Watson, like, okay, they cut the guy, he's got his family up here and the like, then finally they bring him back. You know what it is? There's no flow. And I think the Red Sox are going in this direction, too, which I loathe. I hate it. There's no flow in information. Nothing. And I think that the Patriots are very, very good at that. They just you know, park your car, have a tailgate, go into the stadium and pull out your money and enjoy the game. If there are any questions, they will not be answered.
Yeah, and, you know, we're looking at 6-0, and I'm going right down the schedule here. They beat a Pittsburgh team. Roethlisberger's hurt. Mason Rudolph comes in. After that, the Dolphins and that disaster with both Fitzpatrick and Josh Rosen. You have some guy named Luke Falk, a third-string quarterback, way over his head in game number 3. You got Josh Allen of the Bills all but handing the game, literally, to the Patriots. Patriots probably should have lost that game up in Buffalo.
Buffalo does look better, though.
Yeah,
they really do.
They look better. And, you know, they have a very good shot at going to the playoffs. And who knows, that game, second to the last of the season, I'll be there. I'm going to 2 Patriot games this year.
You're going to another one?
I'm going to another one. Taking my son to that one. My cousin's taking me to the Browns game. But that Buffalo Bills game could be a good game. Bills don't historically play well at the end of the season in Foxborough very well. But how good have the Bills been in the last 20, 25 years? Redskins, what a disaster that was at the quarterback position. And then you got Daniel Jones, who played pretty well, but without his main weapons in Sterling Shepard and Saquon. So that was certainly an undermanned giant offense.
At least they've answered that question, though, I think, that he will be the quarterback of the future. And
he's set.
Sims on the sidelines.
It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting Monday night to see if Darnold can continue. Darnold was the AFC Offensive Player of the Week after throwing a couple of touchdowns. He looked good against the Cowboys. And, who knows? They're a 1-4 team that actually has a shot at beating the Patriots. There are going to be some other teams down the line that will have a legitimate shot. This is the first time, really, since Pittsburgh opening night before Roethlisberger got hurt, that a team had a legit chance at knocking off the Patriots, although the Bills certainly had their chances.
The defense really impresses me.
Well, how could it not?
And it's like the defensive front. Like, there's nobody really there that you can name in terms of saying this guy is here, or they got J.J. Watt, or they got some of the other stars. They don't have that. Yet their coverage is good. They seem to communicate well and fill the gaps when necessary. But it's the linebackers. Collins looks terrific. It's the linebackers and the secondary that's just it's tough to beat.
Right.
And I don't know where it came from, to tell you the truth.
But again, I just named to you the quarterbacks that they faced.
I know.
A rookie with upside, which is immense, and Daniel Jones. Darnold will see what happens in that game. The first time they played the Jets, he was not there. Case Keenum, journeyman extraordinaire. And that kid from Ohio State, they threw to the Wolves against the Giants. They didn't even bother to play against the Patriots. They've just been seeing awful quarterback, backups, journeymen, has-beens. No one's ever heard of them. But coming up, you got Darnold, Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott, Deshaun Watson, and Patrick Mahomes. That is going to be, that's a 15-round heavyweight bout right there.
I tell you, that kid with the Ravens, though, Patriots could have had him. They passed over him. He has really developed quickly. Still not the complete quarterback.
Better passer now than he was.
Better than he was.
Right.
And I think if he's willing to keep working at that by next year, he will really be a force to reckon with.
So I think it's easy to say, this is, as I said, historic. You know, we're comparing him to the Chicago Bears or the Baltimore Ravens of 2000 or some of these really difficult teams to score and pick up yardage against in the annals of NFL history. But they haven't played a quarterback yet. And they're going to be playing a lot of very good, mobile, athletic quarterbacks that can beat you in a couple of ways. That defense is going to be tested big time.
I think the one thing, though, is we can't whine about injuries, because all across the league, there are teams hurting a lot more than we are. I mean, can you imagine playing with a third-string quarterback? It will be good to get Wynn back. the left tackle. They really need to shore up that offensive line. David Andrews going down with the blood clots. There's nothing you can do about that.
And that hurts big time, too.
Yeah, we just pray for him to get well and recover. But they really need some help on the offensive line. They really do. Because with Brady, it's tough to read him whether his frustration is more with the offensive line or is it with his receivers. Do you have enough depth?
Well, the problem is...
You still don't want Antonio Brown.
Right. Well, I don't want Antonio Brown. I don't want any part of him. I'm an owner. I'm a self-respecting owner or fan. But, Larry, you're willing to sell your soul.
You want to win?
What cost? At what cost do you want to win?
I think if somebody's out there with physical violence against another person and things of this sort and with drugs...
Sexual assault doesn't bother you?
Drugs use... Has that been proven?
Okay. Well, assuming that there's some validity to it, you don't want anything to do it.
I don't know. If that's you and your career's on the line, you want an assumption to be made and that's how you're judged?
Unfortunately...
And that's how you're suspended?
Okay. In the society which we live in, I think he needs to be investigated first before... If he's clear of all charges, bring him back.
Investigating. He's had a couple of interviews. And nothing's happened. I don't think he's totally clean. I think he's stupid, if the truth be known.
That's a given.
No, but why you can't leave the damn text line alone instead of... he's got the same problem the president has. Stay off the darn thing. You don't need to be on there.
Interesting, they have a lot of similarities now that I think about it.
Oh, he owns a resort?
He's going to have his own G7 very soon. So... And, you know, the whining...
Elizabeth Warren.
But, you know, the...
God help us.
He probably will be helping us in that direction, unless the Russians jump in. But that's another story for another time, and we're not here to talk about that.
Oh, yes, we are. We'll talk about anything we want to talk about.
So, going back to that, going back to the Brady thing, the whining that... This is the beauty of having six Super Bowls and the greatest quarterback and coach of all time... We like to nitpick, and we like to whine about little things. Oh, the receiving corps isn't up to snuff. Oh, the offensive line is giving up too many sacks, and Brady's got to rush the football. These are all very nice problems to have.
No, I think it's worse than that. I think that the offense has been so inept. It's painful to sit there and watch them. They're running two plays, and then on the third down, Brady either throws the ball away or he gets sacked. I mean, it's just there's no comparison between the defense on the field and the offense. The offense defense has to do all the scoring.
All right. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to get a little Yankee Houston Astros ALCS as well.
Celtics open up Wednesday.
I'm going to give you my scouting report because I was there at the Parquet Palace.
Yeah, they don't have any interior defense.
Don't you want to hear my scouting report? Are you just going to?
No.
Okay.
Actually, I want to know where your seats were, and did you have a hot dog? Okay. You have popcorn? What'd you have?
Of course you would ask about food
away.
Yes,
I would.
Yes.
God knows they pay enough for it.
And I'm going to get into all that because that's one of those... teases that I was never very good on the FM side. I'm going to be working on trying to polish my skills now that
I'm sure people are waiting.
Amplitude modulated.
They're waiting to hear your report on the Celtics game.
They're also waiting because they're not sure how to talk to us because I know there are many right now who said, you know, now that they're on AM, do I still call that same number or is there a new number to call? Is it, Larry?
Yes, you know the number, Craig. What is the number? 617?
You are so pathetic. I am sure that you remembered it.
0850.
Try it again. They're totally confused.
Okay, 779.
Yes.
0850.
You still have an area code there, Larry. Remember the old area code?
617.
Okay, can you put it all together now and give us the number?
617.
Yes.
779-0850.
All right.
We'll put you on this show.
It is Mustard and Johnson, our maiden voyage in magnificent monaural. We're going back to the future. It's 850 WEEI.
Tom Brady every Monday morning on the Greg Hill Show on WEEI 93.7 FM. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
And here's what's trending now on WEEI AM and WEEI.com. Yankees did beat the Astros last night. No Yankee elimination parties, at least not for now. Final score was 4-1. The big blast, Aaron Hicks off the foul pole in right field in the first inning off Verlander. They will go to a game 6 tonight. It'll be a bullpen game. All hands on deck. No real designated starters. Astros lead that series still 3-2 with their two aces. Well, one ace on Sunday. Last night's ace didn't work out too well for the Astros, but still have the advantage with a 3-2 lead. Game number 5 tonight. You can catch it all right here on WEEI starting at 7 o'clock. It's BC football today against NC State. You can catch that game over at the alma mater, WEEI 93.7 FM, starting at 12 o'clock. Patriots play Monday night against the Jets, starting at 8:15. You know about that. And yesterday, Stephen Wright got released by the Red Sox. He'll have Tommy John surgery, according to Rob Bradford at WEEI.com. And that's what's trending now on WEEI.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T, or download the List app on the App Store today.
E-I A-M and WEEI.com.
Join the conversation now. Call 617-779-0850. Now back to Mustard and Johnson on WEEI, ESPN 850 AM.
Nothing like hearing Led Zeppelin on AM. I love it. 617-779-0850. You can listen to the show also on the radio.com app. Search for WEEI. Click on ESPN on WEEI 850 AM. And there you go. We're making our maiden voyage, a three-hour tour, all the way up till 12 o'clock each and every Saturday. We'll be here. And hopefully you will be with us as you make that transition from FM to AM. You did it way back in 2011 when you went in the opposite direction. So no reason why you can't go in the reverse. And here, I think quite fittingly, Larry, to begin our new tenure on the AM dial is Andy from Framingham. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, gentlemen, and welcome back.
Old faithful, Andy.
Andy's been waiting for 8 long years, waiting for us to get back on AM. You wonder where we were, right, Larry?
Yes, I have been. Now, listen, I had 100 men, Manning or Harley Davidson, ready to storm the Bastille over at Brighton, demanding your return on the air.
Well, here we are after 8 long years. He's been sitting by his 8:50 a.m. dial. Where is Mustard and Johnson?
That matches my age as well. Hey, I wanted to talk a little bit about the American League playoffs, but you guys mentioned Belichick, and I'll be quick on this. I don't know if you read this book by Ian O'Connor, the New York Times bestseller on Belichick.
I'm familiar with it, but I haven't read it, no.
Pardon me?
I haven't read it, but I'm
it's
familiar
phenomenal.
With it.
Yeah. It'll give you some great insights in him. I'm only halfway through, but
really?
There's a lot of meat on the bone in reference to him that you don't hear from the local press.
He, by the way, ironically enough, Ian O'Connor wrote a piece, and I forgot what publication it was, blasting Bob Kraft in 2000 for hiring Bill
That's
Belichick
right, he did.
Away
and
from
he
the Jets.
Yep. And he apologized for that in this book. Hey, on Belichick, Larry, on his draft choices, he's a lot like Red in this regard. He relies a lot on past contacts. So there's no doubt in my mind, you know, coaches he coached with, guys he knows, when he had to make that pick between the kid he picked from Georgia, Michelle, over Nick Chubb, I guarantee you he called Nick Saban and asked him what he thought.
Yeah, probably. And he and Saban are obviously very close.
There's a lot about Saban in this book as well.
Yeah, no question about it.
But it's
interesting. It's an interesting point that you should compare him to Red Auerbach, where Red, of course, was pretty much the chief cook and bottle washer.
He was the architect.
He did everything.
Really, this guy,
right.
Here's my question.
Andy, hold on one second. Here's my question, since you brought up Red. Who's the superior general manager, Red Auerbach or Bill Belichick? Both great coaches.
Oh, I say Red Auerbach.
I think Red by a long shot. Yeah.
I mean, he went, pardon me?
I think by a long shot.
See, I think Wright did a lot with trades and things of this sort. I think he outfought the rest of the general managers.
One of the things that I would say he never shot wrong on, for lack of a better terminology, is that when he had a pick in a top four or five, he nailed it. He nailed it. A great example would be Cowens. A lot of people thought he was going to take Sam Lacy or somebody. I mean, he nailed it with Dave Cowens, and everyone thought he was too small to play center in the NBA.
And of course, trading Cliff Hagan way back in 1956. Who was that kid out of San Francisco? Bill Russell.
Who
wasn't too
who
bad.
Induced that trade himself, as you well know, would not play for St. Louis due to their segregation laws back in St. Louis, Missouri.
That's Jim Crow town,
Hey, listen, on this Yankee thing, I think it's going seven. I don't see the Yankees beating call. It could happen. Both teams have swing-and-miss type hitters. So, I mean, they're not the type of guys constantly put the ball in play. Maybe Houston a little bit. I'd say if the Yankees win, this kid, LeMahieu, who they picked up from Colorado, is going to be the MVP. But I don't see them beating call. And I'll leave you with this. The great thing that's going to happen with Cole, David Price is not going to be the highest-paid pitcher in Major League Baseball. This kid's going to be. And there are about three or four teams that are going to go after him. And I think if the Red Sox want to move Price, the people who lose out on Cole would be the teams who approach.
Well, it's interesting.
Well, they'll probably have to pick up some of Price's salary in order to do that, however.
I can't see the Red Sox in that game if John Henry is actually intent on getting down to 208, the first luxury tax tier. I just don't think he has that kind of money to shell out. With all that money he's already committed to Price and Sale and Evaldi, was it $72 million on the books just for next year? That's going to be difficult. The big thing with Cole is he's from California, went to UCLA. And a lot of people think he's going to go either the Dodgers or the Angels. Yet his father's from upstate New York, and Cole grew up as a Yankee fan. And Cashman's been pretty tight-fisted with the money over the last several years. This isn't the old Yankees when George was still around, where they're just throwing good money after bad. A lot of people think Cashman doesn't want to spend that kind of money. I think it really depends on what happens these next couple nights.
How old is Cole? About 27?
29. He's not. So he's certainly within the parameters of John Henry's philosophy. We don't, you know, he broke that with Price. I mean, this kid is, you know, he's having a career year. I can't imagine he's going to be any better than he is this year. What is he, like 16-0 in his last 16 starts, something like that? They had him on the ropes a little bit in game three early, but once he got beyond that first inning, unlike Verlander, he was pretty tough to beat.
That's the biggest thing about this Yankee team that bothers me to a degree is even with these star stud pitchers they're going up against, like, when they get situations, when you get the bases loaded or things of this sort, somebody's got to be able to cash in on that and get something.
Right.
If you let, you know how these pitchers are, you let them get off the ropes and it's all over.
Yeah, but this series has been mostly just about home runs, and the Yankees hit a couple home runs in the first inning last night. They couldn't cash in a bases loaded situation in the first and the fifth on Thursday night, and that's why they're behind in the series. In New Jersey.
Love the two new chairs that I got.
What's happening, Susan?
Susan.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, what's happening? I'm glad you came with us over to AM. Glorious AM. You got that radio.com app yet, Susan?
Well, yes. I want you to know I called the offices on Monday or Tuesday and said, where is this app? Because it wasn't there. And I was so angry. Guy never called me back, but then I found the app this morning.
Yeah, it actually came through. I was searching for it last night around 5 o'clock or so, yesterday afternoon, and a friend of mine texted me breathlessly, I found it. I've been looking all week myself.
Is it easy once you found it, Susan?
Once you find it, yeah, but I was like, are you serious? I'm going to miss them. This is my Saturday. This is what I do. So I was thrilled, beyond thrilled. So
I appreciate it.
Thank you for the effort.
Well, listen, I think if everybody does that, because I'm in Jersey, I can't get you on the local station. So it's great. I'm so happy for you guys. I think it's wonderful. I like that you have 3 hours. We can talk a lot of game stuff. It's wonderful. So I wanted to say something about the Pats and the Jets.
Yes.
I used to go to that game down here because it was the Pats and the Jets. The Jets fans are so obnoxious that I'm worried. Oh, you can't imagine. You can't imagine what we've been through. But I worry that this, with Donald coming back and not having a lot of film on him, that this could be one of those trap games we talk about.
Well, you had plenty of film on him last week. I'm sure Belichick and the coaching staff have broken that thing down. And,
right.
You know, and this is going to be a little bit more of a test. This is their first real test,
yes,
of a good quarterback, right, who can deliver the football on time this year.
I was surprised how good he looked, Susan. It's like he really was located. It's all about making your right reads and finding the open receivers. And I thought he did a tremendous job last week with that.
Yep. Absolutely. I'm worried that Brady's not getting the protection he's going to need because he's making all kinds of bad throws. And people aren't where they're supposed to be in terms of receivers, but he's not getting protection. He's going down and holding the ball.
Yeah, Brady's usually not like that. He's very good at going to his second and third receivers if he needs to. And he just hasn't had the time to do that. And I think I'm not used to the offense looking so anemic.
Yeah, on paper, in spite of maybe a less than desirable receiving core, you still have James White, who is just as good as anybody in this game at catching passes out of the backfield. Michelle certainly has the talent. Larry's always been down on him. I think he has the talent.
I don't know if he's got the talent, Craig.
Yeah, I think he does. Now, you got to work in Dorsett. He's got to be more integral part. He's been down a little bit, banged up. Gordon has been, I think, a little bit less than advertised. I think people expected more of Josh Gordon than we've got this year.
You're used to him with Cleveland. He was a monster out there.
But he had a bigger role even last year up until he went down. So,
yeah, and now they need him because you got to start targeting him. You got to practice with him more. You've got to bring him into the game because I also worry about his weakness. If he's not being a big part of the team and not feeling he's productive,
will he wander?
I worry. I send him a note every week just to give him some encouragement.
Wow.
The radio, it was so negative on him until this whole thing happened with AB that he was the focus of every talk show and the nastiness and the stuff about it. And I thought, you know, I taught for 40 years. I taught a lot of kids like Josh. And I thought, I'm going to send him something every week so that he knows that he's supported. And I think that's an important thing. I think the Pats stepped up for him, and that just warmed my heart. I thought that was just so wonderful, especially now when he's going to need that.
That's really nice of you to take the time to drop a note, too. I'm sure you can use the encouragement.
And he's a good kid. The kid means
he's
sincere. He's a good teammate. Yes. He works hard. He is in the throes of an addiction that is going to be with him for the rest of his life, and this is always going to be difficult.
And once he accepts that, then it's easier to go one day at a time, to do it just a little bit more, just a little bit more. And then all of a sudden, it's like, you know, you're doing it for a week. You're doing it for a month. It's like losing weight or giving up smoking. You have to just do it one step at a time and have people around you that are supporting you. And I think he's in one of the best places he could be.
Well,
he
seems to be in a best place in both a physical and metaphorical sense. Thanks for the call, Susan. We appreciate it. Yet another WEEI listener of the Mustard and Johnson Show who has found the radio.com app. Very simple. Just go to the app store on your phone and download that app and hit WEEI in the search part of it, and you will find WEEI 850 AM, another loyal listener and loyal caller. Well, only when the Yankees win, which they did last night, our buddy Mike from Canton. What's going on, Michael?
Hiya, fellas.
Michael, how are you?
I am going out on the limb and saying the Yanks will complete the comeback from down 3-1 and go to the World Series.
Now, wait a minute. Let me get my saw.
Okay, wait a minute. How many times has that actually happened in ALCS history or even postseason history? Not very much.
It's not. No, it hasn't, Craig. But they were talking about the last when the Yanks did it in 1958 against the Braves. You know the story behind that?
Well, I remember the year before, Burdette had the three wins in 57. Right. They came back from 3-1. Yeah.
The Braves won in 57. They went up 3-1. And Fred Haney, the manager of the Braves, said, the Yankees are lucky they don't play in the National League. So the Yanks come back and win the series, and they ask Casey Stengel about it after the game, after they win Game 7. He says, I guess we can play in the National League now.
Well, in that scenario is very familiar. Not that I was alive. I wasn't watching the Yankees in 58.
Right.
But that's similar because in that year, they had to win the last two games in Milwaukee to complete the sweep. And the year before, the Braves did the same thing to the Yankees at the stadium in Games 6 and 7.
Right.
So it can happen. The problem is when you have that ace in the hole, literally and figuratively, in Game 7, that is going to be really, really difficult.
Yeah, I mean, they have to find a way to get – they can't let him off the hook like they did last time. But, you know, it's going to be – I'd rather face him than Verlander, Craig. We're done with Verlander. He's not pitching again.
Right, and that's good. And that's fantastic. Right. And you know what? They got the Verlander, and you got to give him credit. And they really – they could have. They've shown that one thing about Verlander, as great as he's been since he's come to Houston, he is vulnerable in postseason play. Red Sox beat him in a couple games back when he was in Detroit, and on the road he's not nearly as difficult.
Yeah,
as great as he was after those two home runs.
Well, once they posted four runs against him in the first inning, then it gave you a little breathing room.
Yeah, but I don't know. Yeah. That is going to be one Herculean task to go to Houston.
Well, I'm confident.
Now, you realize...
you got to get past Game 6, too, Craig.
Yeah, go ahead.
Are they pitching your old pal, Wade Miley, today? Is that who they're pitching?
No. I'm not sure who they're... It's not Miley, though.
It wouldn't be today, though, would it?
Yeah, it is tonight. Yeah. There's no off day because they had the rain out.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's today. So if it isn't Wade Miley, Craig, who is it?
I don't know. It's a bullpen game, essentially. Yeah. I don't know what they expect out of Happ. Is Jay Happ... pitching an inning or two?
Happ is going to pitch. But I was just thinking, you can ask Red Sox fans if they think of Wade Miley.
Right. You know what it is, though? There's something about going into that organization that makes you a better pitcher. I don't think it's a coincidence that Verlander, it appeared as a Tiger, was past his prime. Comes to Houston, gets his mojo back. Gerrit Cole is a very nice pitcher in Pittsburgh, but he's not the pitcher he has become in Houston. Right. There's something about that organization that brings out the best in these pitchers.
They're a good club. There's no doubt they're a good club. The thing that's disappointing me with the Yanks is not so much that. It's that they've let a ham and egg relief corps in Houston off the hook. I mean, to me, Houston's bullpen is a little bit better than the Red Sox. Well, and the Yanks have let them...
I'll tell you, the key at bat, if the Yankees lose this series, which, you know, odds are they're still going to lose it, it's going to be very difficult to overcome the 3-1 deficit, is Presley's fifth inning confrontation with Glaber. And that was, if you're looking at it from a Houston point of view, that was a huge at bat and a great performance from Presley to get Glaber out, who thrives in those bases loaded situations.
Right. And the other key play in the game, Craig, was Game 2. Gardner hits a smash off of Altuve. Instead of bouncing into the outfield like it normally would, it bounces right to Carrera, and he throws out LeMahieu at the plate.
Yeah.
You know, that normally that's not going to happen.
Or Didi against Cole in Game 3 could have taken it out of the ballpark.
Right.
It's baseball. Tony Clark. That's all you have to say. Tony Clark.
If that ball stays in play, Craig, the Yankees win that series.
By the way, do you believe that is 15 years ago?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's amazing.
15 years ago. 15 years ago tonight was game number 6. The Bloody Sock game happened 15 years ago today.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I miss those days, too, because those are the days when Larry used to whine about the Yankees' payroll. Of course, those days are over now.
All right, speaking of that, Michael, is Cashman going to go after Cole or not?
I don't think so, because you made a good point, Craig. When these guys hit 29 or 30, they're not getting better. You know?
I don't see how he's going to have a better year than he has this year.
Right.
But right. Unfortunately, the way it works, you're paid for your past, not for your future.
I still think you got to bring guys up from the farm system and work with them. That's why.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's what the Yanks are doing. They're grooming guys. They've got some pitchers in single A and double A.
Don't worry about it because we have a committee now making these decisions.
Yeah. But hold on a second. Tell me a major league team, a contending major league team, that has groomed homegrown
talent,
pitching talent.
Well, the Strasburg. Only one, I don't know if you...
Strasburg. Well, okay, that's it. Give me another one.
Well, I don't consider them a contender yet, although they may be the Mets.
I'm talking about the people that are still in this.
No.
Okay, there isn't.
Right.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
They're all guys from other organizations.
No, you're right, Craig. Right. There aren't. I mean, but starting pitching is, you know, let's face it. First of all, if you get these guys, they don't last long in this day and age. The days of Drysdale and Marichal and Koufax are all, and Gibson, forget it. Those days are over. These guys run out of gas quickly.
Well, here's the difference. Okay. They're told they're only going to go maybe two or three times through the lineup. They're not pacing themselves. Guys in the 60s when we were brought up knew they were pitching a complete game come hell or high water. So they
What did your late partner used to say? Dick Raddatz, Craig.
What did he say? Said a lot of things.
Wow. He said that it was the wussification of baseball.
Well, it's just a different philosophy. I mean, for instance, Bob Gibson could beat the Yankees in 1964. We're definitely on the right modulation here, talking about Bob Gibson in 64.
Right.
He gave up five runs in a complete game and won Game 7 of the World Series in 64.
Right. Right.
That would never happen today. It's a totally different game.
And also with the relief pitchers. In Game 4 of the 1977 ALCS, Sparky Lyle pitched 4 2/3 in relief. And the press said, do you think he can go tomorrow? He said, not more than 3 or 4 innings.
And he was called Captain Hook. He was the first guy to do that because he didn't trust his starting pitching. And that was weird. I remember that 75 series. Yeah. He was Captain Hook because he was.
No, I'm talking about the Yankees now, Craig. Billy Martin. 77 with.
Oh, I thought you said Sparky. You know, as soon as I heard, you know, taking bullpen guys and putting them in the game.
What I'm saying is relief pitchers used to go a lot longer than.
No, but Sparky Anderson was the guy that first used that and was not relying in those big red machine days totally on starting pitching, whereas a Louis Tiant in 75 would have a complete game, 163-pitch game in game number four. Captain Hook, Sparky Anderson, was using his bullpen each and every game extensively.
The thing that I find amusing about you and Mike reminiscing about the golden days, and you're right, but I wonder how much interest nationally are these series right now.
Minimal, probably.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, it is minimal.
Well, that's not good if you're trying to grow.
No, I know it isn't, Larry. I mean, but hey, listen, people just, it's a microwave society we live in, right?
They want it hot and they want it fast.
All right, Michael, we shall see if your prediction comes through. It's going to be a very, very difficult situation
I'll
to overcome.
Week when the Yanks are pounding on the Nationals.
All right. Hey, Mike, good talking to you.
All right, guys.
All right, Mike. Mike, one of the other converts, heading back to the future, getting in his radio DeLorean and returning to amplitude modulated, magnificent monaural, 850 AM WEEI. That phone number, Larry, you got in front of you now?
617-779-0850.
Well, we've completed our first hour back on AM. We still have two more hours to go.
Will they be action-packed?
They will certainly be action-packed, and you can help with the cause by giving us a call at 617-779-0850. More to come. Mustard and Johnson all the way to high noon right here on Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.